spirit of worship. Been kind of going along on Sunday night somewhat for some time with a few little detours, speaking about prayer and a lot of different aspects of it. I'm going to talk to you about this again tonight in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Jesus' words. He said, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So we see united prayer. We see some united prayer. You know, the first lesson that Jesus taught, and I preached on this too some weeks back, whenever it was, the first lesson that he taught about it, he said, "Enter into thy closet." Y'all remember that verse, that text? And there what he was teaching was the need, and this is essential need as well, and that is personal, private communion with God. You know, that every believer, that you have to have time. You know, like I said then, I think that, you know, like Sherry and I do pray together, but I need time to pray to God just myself, and she needs time to pray to God just herself. Spend time, communion, whatever it is. Usually, sometimes I find with if I'm praying with somebody else, I feel a little like rushed to a certain degree. Other, you know, I don't know how long they got and what, you know, I don't want to go forever and all. But when it's just me and God, you know, I've got control and He's not in a hurry, and we've got all day, right? We can talk to God all day, and we do, you know, we should do that. But then he went on and there's other aspects of, you know, with a lot of the Christian life, there's different aspects for different things. But the second thing that he taught was that we also need, and it's all throughout the Bible, united public prayer. Man, you go all the way back to the Old Testament. They'd call the assembly. They'd call all the people up of Israel up, and then they'd get up there and they'd have prayer. Man, they'd stand on their feet. They would read the Old Testament. Everybody stood. Sometimes preachers still do that today. They like to just have you stand when they read the Word of God. The only problem I see with that is if later on when they're preaching, after they get you sitting, and then they'll go to quote a verse in the Bible, they don't get you to stand back up. They just go ahead and quote. But anyhow, whatever they want to do. But they stood up and they prayed. Man, they had big prayer meetings. You read some of the great prayers. They dedicated the temple and all those things, boy, and some of the prophets praying. That's corporate prayer. It's public prayer. It's, you know, everybody's, you know, joined in with that and so united there. And Jesus had a promise that he attached to that. Look what he said. Look what it says in our text. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever..." I read the wrong verse. Verse 19. "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask," there's the prayer, "it shall be done for them, of my Father which is in heaven." So two of you or more, it could be more, is touching anything. I said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So we got this promise that Jesus attaches to united prayer in our text, that if God's people are united on a thing, that they're asking a request, that listen, he's going to answer the prayer. And there's things that go with that I'll touch on here in just a moment. So there's a promise. We see this, the importance of a prayer meeting. He said two or three are gathered together. What are we doing tonight? We're gathering together. What do we do on Wednesday night? What are we doing on prayer meeting? We're gathering together. That's what we're to do. And so there's, he attaches a lot to that. You know, there's a certain bond that, you know, we kind of really, I think that we bond with God probably through prayer more than anything. I mean, talking about real prayer, fervent prayer, effectual prayer. You know, when we're talking, when it's heart and things that you talk, that's the connection. Now, when do we usually pray like that? Well, when we're going through a crisis or a trial, and so, it does make it closer, you know, that right there. But listen, the bond that unites man with his fellow men is no less real and close than that unites him with God. Huh? Fellow men, when we have a real prayer meeting, we had a good one the other week when the power went out. That was a good prayer. Boy, we got together and that's all we did. That's all we did is pray. You know, some of the old churches, That's what they had, a prayer meeting. They call a prayer meeting. Sometimes it wasn't even scheduled. They just call for a prayer meeting. And they'd have a meeting, and there wasn't any preaching, there wasn't any singing. They all got together, boy, and let the Spirit work, and they prayed and get together. I mean, that's when you really have a prayer meeting. And so, listen, it's an important thing. What bonds us to God, a prayer does. It also bonds us to each other, our fellow man. And prayer renews our relationship with God. I think have you ever gotten dry? Have you ever gotten away from God? Got out of the Word? Haven't spent any quality time in prayer? I mean, you might have got the one out for eating and, you know, a quick one on the highway or something. But, I mean, you haven't spent quality time in prayer. But then when you have a serious prayer time with God, boy, that just renews your relationship with God. It's just, well, that's the way it feels to me, and I think it would with anybody. But us, what, you know what? A prayer also renews our relationship with our fellow man. It does that as well. It does the same thing. There's a bond there. Now, when Jesus gave us the model prayer, look at the model prayer. How does it start out? What's the first word? No, the first word. Okay. We had two words, Stanley. I'm just watching you, man. I'm watching you. The first word is our, not my. What does our mean? There's more than one person. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as heaven. And then he goes and he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, that's not a singular prayer. That's a corporate prayer. Yeah, it's the model prayer. So I'd say that he's kind of leading their line. Now, I mean, you could use it. Like, it's just a model anyway. I'm not for one for repeating that in my prayer. It's just an outline for a prayer. Some people do. That's fine. Whatever. So we have this corporate prayer where God's people get together, man, and we really have a prayer about thing. It's, you know, it's natural. Listen, gathering together. Think about that. Well, the holidays are here, right? What do families do? They gather together. As long as everything's going all right, you know. We just went up to Sherry's family. I was talking with David, and I were just talking a minute, wherever you went. There you go. Hey, fooled me. I thought you was over there. Huh? This is my good side. Oh, man, I bet you was good looking when you had hair, right? Inside joke. He wasn't. No, it's all right. It got all off track. We had, my side of the family, man, I'm other than what's behind, you know, below me, like my family, my kids. But above me, there's nobody else left. And David said, yeah, you know, it's lonely when it's like that, man. You know, look back over the holidays. I love the holidays, man. I think about my mom and dad more during the holidays in a different way. I mean, it's bittersweet. It's good. I miss them, sure. I miss some days. Man, getting up on Christmas morning, boy, and bebopping around the house. My mom had Christmas music on. My buddy just died, Bo Barber. He died here a month ago or so, and his daughter called me. But he would go, I said, man, I bet I'm going to get up on, I'll get up before you. He said, no, I bet I get up before you. He never got up before me, man. I'd get up at 2:30 in the morning. I said, you put your porch light on when you get up. I'd run out there, man, throw that thing on. I look down there, he hadn't got up. He just passed away. You know, we lost some guys. But, hey, you know, I think about my parents, my family, you know, that. And it's a good time. It's a bittersweet thing. But I really, as these holidays approach, man, I think about them more and more and more. And that's okay. But there's nobody, all my aunts, uncles, relatives. I got a couple of, like, second cousins that were as estranged as you could get, probably. But not because there's any problem. But that's natural. We went to Sherry's family, so I've known them for years and years and years, and we had her sisters and her husbands, and you know, one of her brother-in-laws, him and I were friends and hunting partners before he ever married her sister. Didn't even know her sister way back, so I've known him forever, and we got together with everybody. You know, it's good. We all fellowship and talk, and man, you're talking about deer hunting, man, good night. We had to show pictures of millions. I looked at so many deer, I don't know what to do. Everybody likes to hunt, and and that's natural. We gather together. And so, you know, we don't have one relationship with each individual person, not one thing. I mean, we do, but that's not the only thing we have. We have, you know, we get together as a big family. It's something that we look at. And so here we are as believers. This is what we do. We get together, man. This is why Christ, you know, he established the church. We've got the church. It's a family. It's a body. We're members not only of one family, but we're members of one body. And the Bible gives a great illustration. I didn't go to all the text about it, but it talks about the body, how the body works. Man, you know, the hands are great, but you know what? The hands can't get nowhere without the feet. And the feet are good to get you there, but they can't do a whole lot without the hands. And then you got to have the head, all the parts. It all works together. We're talking about Hank, and I read this before. I read, if you lost your little finger, I forgot what percentage of your strength is you lost. Just by your little finger. You think that thing's not good for something. But if you don't have it, you're not near as strong your grip without that little finger. Try it sometime. And your toes, you can just lose your little toe and it affects your balance. And I imagine with all of them, you know, it's going to be something different. So we got to have, each member depends on the other member in the body. And then we are called the body of Christ. Guess what? Each member, this is how it's supposed to be, each member depends upon the other members to the extent, and the extent to which the Spirit can dwell in the body depends on the union and cooperation of everyone all together. You know, this, man, there's lots of verses. You could do a whole message on this right here about, you know, when one grieves and the rest of the family grieves. But, you know, a little leaven at the whole lump too, right? And so all that, everything's affected in the body by all of us. We think everything's individual, but it's not. It's not an individual thing. And so we have to have this union with Christ and cooperation of everyone. And we can't receive the full blessing that God is ready to bestow until we seek and receive it in fellowship with each other. We seek it with each other. This is where your prayer gets on the right track, you know, because a lot of stuff we pray about. But boy, and I'll show you in a minute about, you know, praying two or three gathering together and praying. I don't mean we're all going to get together and pray for a Corvette on Christmas morning and that's going to be there, although we could try. That's not what it's talking about. But, you know, when we think about it, okay, let's think about the day of Pentecost and God poured his Holy Spirit out on the church. What was going on? It was 120 believers in prayer, gathered together in prayer. That's when God poured his Spirit out. Not 120 and everybody sitting back at the barn praying separately. He told them, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait. And while they waited, they prayed. So on the day of Pentecost, it was 120 believers praying for whatever God had for them. They were in one accord that day. And boy, listen, man, God poured out his Spirit upon the church. They were in agreement with the same thing, and they were under the same roof. That's when God poured his Spirit out, right? So there's some elements of true united prayer, and those are the points, the elements of true united prayer. Number one, agreement as to the thing asked. That's what it said in our text, right? The agreement as to the things asked. If I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, like I said, this doesn't mean that, okay, listen, man, I got this will and I got this desire and I want this done or I want this to happen, so I'm going to tell you about it and I'm going to get two or three of you to pray with me about it so that it'll come true. That's not what it's talking about at all. Because, you know, God is speaking to us. When two or three are agreeing, it's because God has spoken to those two or three or five or 10 or 20 or 30. We're all be on one accord. We're all on the same page. It's a matter of distinct, united desire. It's a special thing. It's a special thing when we get down. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, I know things, and you should know too. You know things about God, and I know things about God. Does God want us to be filled with himself? You know, we don't have to say, well, I'm not sure. No, he does. And so when we all agree that this is what we want, if we all desire this to be filled with the presence of God, the power of God, if we all pray that we want a felt presence of God, like if we pray like this, we want to have a service when we have a prayer meeting or when we preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever it is. And boy, we just want the presence of God to be felt in a powerful way, even though we know he's dwelling in each one of us. We pray for that. I mean, that's something that God would want. He would desire if he impressed upon us. That would be the special thing. And the agreement must be in spirit and in truth. See, that's the difference. There's a whole lot of what we do or pray that's not in spirit and in truth. And then when this happens, the thing that we are asking, it becomes clear to everybody. Everybody will be in one accord. It'll be something that everybody's got a vision about, something that everybody will be clear on that. So then we know that when we pray that we can confidently ask for it according to God's will, and we can confidently believe we will receive it. You know, doesn't the Bible teach us that if we ask that we should believe, if we pray without believing, that we're not going to receive? Think about that. Now, this is where we have a problem with the so-called unspoken prayer request. There's no such thing in the Bible. And I can't confidently ask God for something that you want prayer about that you can't tell me what it is. I can't do it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm going to be in one accord. I don't know if we're in one accord on that. I don't know if it's in accord with God's will. When you got that prayer, the only thing you can really do, if you don't want to get others, you just got to pray on your own. You just got to pray on your own. Really, when you think of how can I pray for something that I don't even know what it is? You know, you can't do it. And so, and you can't pray in confidence if you don't know it's got to be in God's will. And so, you know, the very first thing, like I said, agreement as to the thing asked. Agreement as to the thing asked. And the Lord's leading is on this. And this is an impression that God puts upon our hearts. And that's how it ends up being something that we can ask and confidently ask and know that God's going to answer. The second element there for this is gathering in the name of Jesus. Gathering in the name of Jesus. I think I spoke somewhat on this, the name of Jesus, here just a while back. It means that his name, him, he, must be the center and the bond of the union that makes us one. He's got to be the center. It's his name. It's, you know, it's not hocus pocus. Well, you know, we're just going to pray everything and then throw it in Jesus' name on the end and boom, it's going to happen. It's when we're talking about the name of Jesus, it means everything that he is. Everything that he is. Boy, that name. And it centers on that. You know, our home contains and unites all that are in the home. That's it, the home. You know, that unites everything. And it's just like that Christ is the one. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. But see, the name, it means him. You know, what everything that it entails in his name. And so I thought about this. The name of Jesus is such a reality to those who understand and believe in it that to meet within it is to have him present. That's when we are praying in Jesus' name, when we are gathering together in Jesus' name, it means that, you know, it's so real that we know he's here. I mean, boy, and I got another place, and I'm going to reemphasize this as well, but the thought, like when we come here, church, prayer meeting, even praying you, your spouse, you, and even with you yourself, that when you're coming into the presence of God in that sense, in that way, if we got that thought, you know, that listen, where two or three are gathered and, you know, there I am in the midst. I mean, we know we have him as a personal Savior. We have the Holy Spirit, but boy, when we get ready to pray, when this is, you know, and boy, here he is, and we get ready to, when we get ready to pray, and we know God is right there. He's hearing it. He's listening. You know, he's there. He's ready to answer the prayer. And I'll reiterate on that. The verse says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name." Not where two or three are gathered, even as Christians, but two or three are gathered in my name. In other words, that's what we were thinking when we gathered. man, we're coming together in the name of Christ. We ought to have that in our forefront of our thought. We're coming together in the name of Christ. And when we gather in the love and the reality of Jesus, the reality of his living presence, when we think about this, that's when our prayers really have power. When we really realize, because sometimes I think Christians struggle with this, with that distant God thing. Like God's way off. That's why you see people praying and they look up. What are you looking up for? He's here. Huh? Or you think he's close, but he's here. He's that close. I mean, you know, when we really grab onto that. And boy, so we get right, you know, we got this machine working here, man. We got this mechanical machine. We got church, right? Listen, whether God shows up or not, I'm telling you what, if we didn't have God, we could run church. Huh? We got it all down pat. Got Daryl back there running the sound equipment. I got Paul leading the singing. We got the words that come up on the projector right here, and we all know how they go, and we can all walk right in, and we can go through them. We stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down. We got it all down pat. And then when you start looking at your watches, I know it's time to quit. And then we get around, we call on somebody to pray. Amen. Bless us on the way home. Keep us traveling mercies. We can go through the whole motion whether God was here or not. There's a difference. There's a difference. Huh? But when we come in knowing, you know what? I know God's dwelling in my heart. I know the Holy Spirit's there. But when we come together, it's a different deal. Huh? Now everybody here's got God dwelling in their heart. But we got to come with the thought that we're in the with that God is present right here. And when we get ready to call on somebody to pray, that we know that they're talking to God for the whole congregation, and that God is hearing the prayer. And boy, we can say, listen, fill us and pour your Spirit out on us. And if there's somebody lost, we'll lift them up to be prayed. And that it's real. See, not just going through the motion, because every one of us here knows the right thing to say, but it doesn't mean that we're believing and we're doing it with our heart to where God's getting anything done. See, boy, what a difference that would make, huh? When you really get a hold of it and believe it, man, it's a different thing. And that's it. Our prayers have power. When we pray, when we come together in Jesus' name and we pray in Jesus' name, it means that we believe everything that Jesus is going on right here. So that's the second thing, the second element that we have to have, gathering, man, in Jesus' name. And then the third thing, it shall be done for them of my Father. That's what he said in our verse. In verse 19, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. You know, listen, prayer meeting's a good thing. I mean, it's good for fellowship. You know, one of the things that I like about coming to church is fellowship. And when I was telling David there, when we were talking about this, it's a family, right? We fellowship with one another. But you know what? That's not the main purpose. It's good. Prayer meeting is good for edification, the building up of the body. I think you grow. Boy, if you, you know, when you really learn how to relax and let loose and pray to God, pour your heart out to him, and if God's in your heart, whatever you pour out of your heart is going to be of God, and it's going to be a good thing, and that's edification. We build up the body by having prayer meeting. But this wasn't the reason that Jesus recommended a prayer meeting. He meant a prayer meeting. Now listen here. We get right down. It is what it is. It is what it says. He meant it as a means for securing special answers to prayer. That's what a prayer meeting is. It's to secure special answers to prayer. And a prayer meeting without recognized answers to prayer ought to be the exception to the rule, not the rule. Like when we pray, are we really expecting God to answer the prayer? I mean, I'm positive in my life that I've prayed prayers and thought maybe in the background that it wasn't going to get answered. Now, part of it could have been sometimes not praying in God's will, sometimes probably praying in what God would will, but I just didn't know if it was going to happen or not. You ever prayed for somebody to be saved, but in the back of your mind, subconscious, you might not say it, but you didn't believe that they were going to get saved? You know, you just thought, they're never going to get saved, but I'll pray for them, you know. Probably don't say it that way, but we've done that. We do that. Man, we ought to be prayer, have a meeting, and expecting an answer. Amen. Huh? Expecting an answer. That's a real prayer meeting. Listen, man, when old Elijah got out there, man, and called fire down from heaven, and when he's going up against the 450 prophets, you think he was doubting about that? Man, he said, listen, God, you know, let it be known. Make them know. I'm going to have to paraphrase it, but, you know, let them know that you're real. Because he said, whoever God answers by fire, let him be God. And he prayed that prayer. Wasn't no doubt in his mind. Wasn't no doubt in Elisha's mind when he asked God to open the eyes of his servant at Dothan so he could see what was going on all around out there, the chariots of fire. He said, just open his eyes. When I preach that, I always say, I just feel like casually Elisha was over here saying, Lord, just open up his eyes. He didn't even look. Lord, just open up his eyes so he can see what's going on. He kept on doing whatever he had to do. And his servant looked out there and said, whoa. You know, he knew that God would answer the prayer. I mean, I like that. They believe that. Here's the thing. One of the reasons for United Prayer is that we may feel too spiritually weak. Have you ever felt spiritually weak? This is where, like, you know you ought to pray. For those of you that haven't been there, but probably have. You know you ought to pray. But when you go to pray, you feel so unspiritual, you feel so dry, you feel so distant, you feel so dead. You just don't, you know, you're just not full of God or something like that. That's a spiritual weakness. Have you ever felt so weak right there that you really needed somebody else to pray? Huh? I felt that way. There's been times I could pray, I could say the right words and all that, but I wasn't feeling it, you know, like I should. So that's why we have United Prayer. You might be too spiritually weak to pray for yourself or pray for a need. Hey, we can pray for you. We can pray for you and lift you up and lift everybody up, right? Sometimes we have to have that. We get too weak to exercise faith necessary to pray an effectual, fervent prayer. We just have somebody else pray for us, huh? Haven't you ever listened to a prayer good enough? And boy, that prayer just lifted you up, man. You got kind of fired up with the prayer, right? That's what it could be. The unity of faith, love, and the Spirit, the power of the name and presence of Jesus is what brings the answer. This is what brings the answer. This is what God wants. He said what? It shall be done for them. It shall be done. That's what he said. And that's the evidence. The evidence that there's been true united prayer is the fruit, the answer to the prayer. Yeah, that's it. The receiving of the thing asked for. Like I said, but everything's going together. This is when God's leading, God's guiding us. We're all on one accord. We all have the same mind. God has laid on us the same thing. We've got to answer the prayer. We still need to pray, right? And what a power. What a power and what a privilege that United Prayer is. It's a privilege, man, I'm telling you. I said this morning that, you know, 99% of the people in any Sunday morning church service would say they're saved. And so we end up preaching salvation message to the same people that really say, I'm not saying they're all saved, but they think they do, but that a lot of people don't need a salvation message. They need growth. They need spiritual growth. They need something to learn. But what happens is they don't come to the services that they get it at. So you got to give it to them sometime on Sunday morning. You know, that's it. This would have been a good one for that. This message here would be good for Sunday morning. So somebody that never darkened a church door on prayer meeting night would say, wow, man, United Prayer. Yeah, it's right there in the Bible. Jesus is teaching it to us right here. It's a power. It's a privilege. Just think about this. Let me give you some examples. What a difference United Prayer, I mean the right way, would make. Just think what a difference United Prayer would make if the believing husband and wife knew they were joined together in the name of Jesus to experience his presence and power in United Prayer. Just think about that. Just think when you sit down with your spouse, and you said we're united in prayer and we're praying to God, huh? And believing in his name. I mean, what kind of prayers could you pray? Huh? I mean, you know, isn't God willing in these areas, right? I mean, just think about that. Think of what a difference when you know you're coming into the presence of God, a husband and wife, a believing husband and wife, and praying. Huh? What a force that would be. What a difference it would make if friends were aware of the power and help that two or three praying together in Jesus' name gives. Boy, when we get around just three of us, say, hey, I'm tell you what, over the years I've learned this one thing. This is one thing I did. You know how we always tell people? Somebody say, hey, brother, man, I'm really feeling down. I got this problem, that problem. And they say, would you pray for me? I said, well, let's pray right now. Huh? I prayed over the phone. Let me pray with you over the phone. They're almost taken aback by it. Somebody comes in, hey, I'm not feeling, let's pray with them. Pray for them. Let's pray with them. Let me pray with you. Let's pray. There's a difference, man, when two or three just friends, just people that you know, you get together and pray, man, and pray together in Jesus' name. I got a little star by this one. What a difference if in every prayer meeting, if we would realize we are coming together in Jesus' name and in his presence, an expectation of the answer to the prayer. Just think what a difference that would be. When we got to a prayer meeting and we're coming together and we know that Jesus is there and we're praying in his name and we're expecting him to answer the prayer. Man, just think about that. This is what's missing. This is why the church is like lost her place in the world. We don't have any power in the world today as far as the government goes and how things are done and in our communities. And we're not seeing people saved left and right like they could be and should be, man, because we are not getting together and praying and believing that this is what God wants, that God wants to use us. Listen, he wants us not as just individual beings, but as a corporate. You know, there's power in numbers, right? There's power in numbers. He knows that. Just think that. If we really got a grip on this thing in our prayer meeting, it's not just something like I'm going to give the lesson, whatever we're studying, getting ready to study on the last things, and I'm going to give the lesson. We come together, we sing a song or two or see a video, and then we're going to give a little lesson, and we just tag the prayer meeting part on the end of it. And everybody sits down and amen, out the door. Oh, hey, look at this big buck I got. You know, out the door. No, I mean, when we really realize that we're getting a hold of God, man, this is the main thing. The main thing is the prayer, the prayer meeting. When we get together and pray, man, what a difference that would make in our church life and our life as well. If the church realized the effective prayer as one of the chief purposes for us coming together. That's the chief thing in a prayer meeting, really. I know we got the emphasis in the wrong place. We got emphasis on studying the Word. The emphasis needs to be on prayer. That's what it really needs to be. If we're going to have a prayer meeting, I mean, that's what it needs to be on. The Apostle Paul, he had a great faith in the power of united prayer. Romans 15:30, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." That ye strive together with me. He's praying. He wants them to strive together in prayer for him. He had a lot to do. He had a lot going on. He was in a lot of circumstances. But I don't think he was worried about that. He was worried about what to do. And he expected to be delivered from his enemies and prosper in his work in answer to their combined prayer. He expected that. This is what's going to happen. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 1:10-11, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in who we trust that he will yet deliver us." Yet, you see, there's a positive. "He will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given on our behalf." He's talking about corporate prayer. He's talking about what that meant to him, man. The power was in that. Man, he had all the confidence in the world in this. He makes the power and success of his ministry, he's saying, it's dependent on united prayer. And I believe that with all my heart. I mean, I believe, listen, whatever ministry we have, We have ministry as a church as a whole, ministry as a Sunday school teacher, as a Sunday school class, as a choir, as what? I mean, it's dependent on United Prayer. You know, you praying and we say this all the time as far as like the pastor go, you know, pray for the pastor, you know. Well, yeah, Lord knows, pray for the pastor. You know, I've got to get a lot of things sorted out and as far as this goes, you know, and that's the battle there. Paul considered himself a member of a body, just like we talked about already. He considered that. He depended on that body. He wasn't working. He wasn't freelance. He wasn't working outside the realm of the church. He was dependent on the church for the power that he had to have to preach the truth in the day that he was living in. And he was an apostle, for crying out loud. He counted on the body to pray collectively. He realized that the prayer of the church, the prayers of the church, were a real factor in the work of the kingdom and the power of God. And they are. God could do it another way, but he didn't. He's using us, like I said this morning. And just think, who could say what power there would be if we would realize and exercise the ministry of United Prayer for the salvation of souls? I mean, listen, I mean, really get, you know, not just, well, Lord, save the lost. You know, I mean, get with somebody's name and pray and agree on that. We're thinking of, we're agreeing on that together. We'd see people saved. We'd see people saved according to what Jesus already told them. Most churches believe that gathering to get, you know, gathering to simply take care of, and this is true too. A lot of times the churches think we just get together to minister to ourselves, to minister to each other, you know, edify or build each other up. But listen, God rules the world by the prayer of his saints. That's how he operates. When we get on that page with him, his work, his will, thy will be done. Thy will be done. We get on that page. The power of Satan is conquered through the prayer of the church. He's defeated. I mean, we know ultimately he's defeated, but he's still got power. He's still wielding that power. He still is defeated by the prayer of the church. I remember reading an old illustration. I can see if I can't remember the guy. John Knox, I think, maybe. He's an old Presbyterian preacher back when they could preach. And he'd gone down to the bank or something about getting a loan, and he went in to see the president of the bank, and the president wouldn't give him the money. He was getting elderly at the time, and he said, okay. But they knew about him. They knew he was a man. They knew he was God's man. He was a man of God. They knew the power of his prayer. Whoever the bank people, they knew him. People, everybody knew him. Anyway, he was elderly, though, and he got outside the bank, and, man, he just got to feeling kind of woozy-headed. And he leaned on the bank, and he was leaning down like this. And the bank president saw him out the glass. They said, oh, no. They said, he's praying. They said, go out there and get him. Bring him back in here. We're going to give him what he wants. Had his hand on the bank. Bring him back. Said we. They thought he wasn't praying at all, but they thought he was. And they believed. Listen to this. Here was lost people that realized the power of prayer. So much so they gave him the money, man. I mean, you know, this is, I mean, that's a testimony right there, buddy. That is a testimony. Jesus has made every assembly in his name a gate to heaven. Made every assembly in his name a gate to heaven where his presence is felt, his power is experienced. Huh? Boy, that's it. That's what we need. We need that more than anything. And we all agree with that, right? So that wouldn't that be a matter of prayer? That we all agreed on that one thing, and I know God's willing. God's not up there saying, listen, I'm just going to hold back. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to pour myself out on these people. He's not saying that. See, this is where we can confidently know that he's willing, you know. And if we confidently ask God for this, this is a great thing for prayer. And we ask God for this, listen, I'm going to tell you what, man, he'll answer that prayer. If we all are on that page with that, we need just to pray and help God, help us to realize, listen, this, we can claim a promise right here. We can claim a promise on those verses right there. How about that? Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand for heads bowed and eyes closed. Paul will be coming up, lead us. He's going to lead us in an invitation song here in just a second. But if God spoke to your heart somehow, boy, just think about this. When we get down to praying, boy, if we just really get serious, I mean, not go through the motions, but I mean really talk to God about the things we need, boy, we'd see God do something.
Thank you, Pat. Hymn number 270, Just As I Am.
Just as I am.